Hey, everybody, if you're listening to this on June 10th, the day it comes out, you are in luck because today is the launch day for Who's a Good Boy, the game where dogs can sin, a game developed and created by Dan Sheehan and his wife, Julia, who drew all the assets of the game. They came up with this game together. It's available on Kickstarter and it goes live today. We talked about it on our last episode where Dan was the guest. And I'm also just very excited about it. So go check out Who's a Good Boy, the game where dogs can sin at dogscansin.com and back the Kickstarter. You'd be doing us a big favor and also yourself a big favor because you're going to be getting a great game. And I'm really excited about it. So check it out, dogscansin.com. All right, podcast time, baby. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're currently listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carroza. I am the guy behind the column, Am I the Bullus, over on EDHREC.com, formerly from CommandersHerald.com. Shout out, shout out. With me, as always, my co-host, my producer, super genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up, Mikey?
What's cracking?
Looks like you're holding a big stack of mail over there.
Oh, buddy.
Big old bowl of mail.
I did a whole prop thing because it's all digital, but I thought it'd be fun to make this like wrapped with a string kind of many different little pieces of paper with stamp. I got props.
If you remember that, kids, anybody listening, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but we did used to send letters via courier.
Look, if you're listening, chances are you got packages in the mail regularly. All right. Like if you're listening to this, you're deep. And you order cards online frequently. In fact, you're probably so deep, you're up on cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Cardsphere, where your cards are your wallet. Tell you friggin' what, buddy. It's a trading platform where you put your cards up, send them out to people who want them, and then you put some cards on your list, and ooh, little surprise in the mail. Little fun. Somebody sent you a little something. Cardsphere is our sponsor. Check them out. There's a referral link in the description. Also sponsoring us, Bonebox Games. Enter promo code BULLCAST for a little discount from your boy and from the boys over at Bonebox Games. I'm not going to lie, I'm traveling soon, and I'm only taking my Bonebox gear, and I'm pretty stoked to see it in action. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. You put out a good friggin' product. Bonebox Games, everybody. So look, Morgan, I think it's time we tell the listeners. There's a reason we're not doing like a long Cardsphere story because we just recorded one for the last episode to come out and we don't have another one so quickly. But what we do have is we're trying something. So this is a bit of a bonus episode at the moment and hopefully will be the kind of episode that alternates with the interview episodes that I do with other members of the community. For instance, you know, you probably listened to the last episode with Dan Sheehan, plugging his brand new card/board game and talking about this interaction he had at an event with two guys who had a very strange way of playing Commander. And then you've got this one. This is a mailbag episode. We're going to put it out and see how you guys feel about it. And hopefully you dig it. And we just keep doing it alternating. Now, this is going to mean that we're going to dive into the amithebolus@gmail.com inbox and find some submissions that maybe are a little bit too wordy for the column, or maybe even retreading on some of the column submissions, the ones that made it to the websites. And mind you, I've been doing this column, it wasn't always weekly, but it's been a weekly column since Commander's Herald existed. And then when, the switch up happened and I got moved over to EDHREC, it's already been a month and some change that I've been doing Am I the Bolus over there as well, weekly. So every week, you know, we got stories. We can dive back into them and have discussions about them. Times have changed. Maybe we have different attitudes about them. So I thought it'd be fun to revisit some, but also take a look into the mailbag and find some real gems that I can't bring myself to cut down from 9 paragraphs to a shorter submission because, trust me, people get to like 3 paragraphs and they're like, okay, Mikey, you could have edited this one down to it's bare bones, but some of these are so fun to read despite their excessive length. Morgan's muted and she is talking.
You need
Oh, do it again.
You need the whole context for the story. Context. Everybody remember Context? Context is a deep cut. It's been a while since we've had Context on the show. So
yeah,
but that's a deep cut. Those who know.
Shout out Michael Solani, aka Games Freak SA. Now, let's begin with one from the site. So this one was published actually, edhrec.com, June 4th. Am I the Bolus? Forest Walking, the only other green player. Now, I'm not going to read the article as is because it's just not worth doing that. But I'll read the submission and we'll get into our thoughts about it and have a chat about it. So let's see. Hello, Mike. I've been playing Commander with my group for a while and we have slowly made our decks quite powerful. I play a mono-green elves deck with Ezuri Renegade Leader as the commander. Now, for those who don't know, this is a little bit of an aside. Ezuri Renegade Leader is a 2-2 legendary elf warrior for one green-green that has two abilities. One is for green mana, regenerate another target elf. And then for two green-green-green, elf creatures you control get +3/+3 and gain trample until end of turn. So it's a built-in overrun that you can repeat for elf creatures only. And it gets very powerful considering that elf decks are usually abundant with mana. So I play a mono green elves deck with Ezuri Renegade Leader as the commander. In my most recent set of upgrades to the deck, I added an elvish champion because it goes well with my deck. Elvish champion is, of course, a 2-2 elf for one green green that says other elf creatures get +1/+1 and have forest walk. Okay. In our group, there's only one player who has green in their deck other than me, but I did not think about this when adding Elvish Champion. The past few times that we've played, I've used one of the many tutors in my deck to find Elvish Champion. And due to the large number of cards with similar function to Elvish Archdruid and lots of untapping cards, I would be able to knock the other green player out very quickly in all these games. Elvish Archdruid, of course, one of the many elves that makes a lot of mana. This made them upset because nobody else had forests in their deck, and they felt that it was unfair to put Elvish Champion in my deck since they were the only other green player. I told them that it was part of my deck and that I would not remove it, and now they don't want to play with me anymore. Am I the bolus for putting the Elvish Champion in my deck and then not wanting to remove it after making the only other green player upset? Sincerely, Wirewood Symbiote. Now, for those who don't know, Elvish Archdruid taps to add one green mana for each elf you control. And Wirewood Symbiote is an insect that says return an elf you control to its owner's hand. Untap target creature, activate only once each turn. It's a little bug from way back. I think it was Legions, where honestly, it's pretty powerful in an elf ball deck. So all this is to say, let's distill it. Am I the bolus for putting Elvish Champion in my elf ball deck and then not wanting to remove it because, you know, it's too powerful for that one player that plays green? And I think I summed it up well in the article, and I'm happy to kind of tread over that territory again. But Morgan, I'm seeing a lot of faces. There's seeing your face.
There's a lot of
Tell me what you think.
Instances in this word problem here, because the very first sentence of this letter is, yeah, I've been playing Commander with my group for a while now, and we have slowly made our decks quite powerful.
Quite powerful.
Quite powerful is obviously not a super objective term. It's a little bit subjective, but I would imagine that means that, yeah, you're using some game changers. You're maybe playing some bracket threes, bracket fours. You got a couple. To say one of the many tutors in your deck to specifically find Elvish Champion, right? That sounds like
automatically puts you in
kind of in power
bracket 3-4 range.
Power move, right? I mean, I am shocked that we're tutoring many tutors for to find just the Elvish Champion. That's kind of intense, but I mean, it is an elf deck, so what are you going to do? It's a good elf. It's one of the best elves ever. I think that having one player in your playgroup who has forests in their deck being upset that you have a forest walker and probably other elves in that deck that give your elves forest walk. I'd be shocked if it was just Elvish Champion, but maybe it is. Maybe that's your,
so this is, they only make mention of the Elvish Champion. And so I have to assume this is the first instance of mass forest walk that they've added to the deck.
And sure, Elvish Champion, forest walk, your win con for one person though. Right. I guess that's what I'm looking at. So you may or may not be going after this person for a particular reason. But the fact that you can, does that make you the bolus? Not necessarily, in my opinion. This has a lot of weird and interesting facets to it when it comes to communication with your play group, right? I think that if I were going to do something like this and have it be my specific win con to find this elvish champion, get all my elves walking over your forest, and just you, Mike, right? Like, let's say we've got someone else in this pod who no forests at all, right? I mean, I don't particularly see the big deal. This is the power level of the deck that I've chosen to play. We could do other things with the same power level in the quite powerful category subjectively, right? It wouldn't just be Elvish Champion. What if it it could have been any other kind of win con? So I don't know if it's suffice to say that they shouldn't play with you anymore. They don't want to play with you anymore. Yeah. I mean, are you targeting this person for a particular reason, or did you just really want to play elves? Like, maybe those overlap, maybe they don't. But I'm going to go and say that you're not the bolus, just because there's too many moving parts here that I feel like you're only the bolus if you're specifically like, ah, I'm going to make an Elvish Champion deck to win over this kid with the forest.
So we went completely different directions in this, I'll say, because there's a couple of red flags in the submission for me. So you're going with not the bolus. So here's the thing.
Nah.
You mentioned the subjectivity of quite powerful, right? We have slowly made our decks quite powerful. So slowly tells me that, you know what? I don't think that everybody's matching the power level at the same rate and at the same pace. And frankly, you know, with this story, it does feel like maybe not everybody's up on the power like you think they are. So you're playing a mono green elves deck, which is a very popular archetype, but also known to be exceptionally powerful. There's so many decks led by stuff like Marwyn the Nurturer. You've got many other commanders out there. Like Lathril is Golgari, but it's a popular elf commander. The Big Daddy Elidamri, Lord of Leaves, is one that I am shocked didn't come up in the submission, but it's probably because it is like a $70 reserve list card, which I'll talk more about in a sec. But we are already picking probably the most powerful of the elves available to helm a mono green deck. Marwyn, of course, being powerful because it can generate a lot of mana, but Ezri being maybe an edge above because of the built-in win con and protection. And I think Ezri has that edge, and I think is the most powerful option here. Now, in the most recent set of upgrades to the deck, Elvish Champion was added, and you know, it was kind of added with like, I'm gonna put it in the deck because that means it's part of the deck. But there's this acknowledgement that says, in our group, there is only one player who plays green in their decks other than I do. And I didn't think about that when I was adding it in. That's fair. That's so far, we're fine with you adding. So far, we're fine with you adding in Elvish Champion. So far, so good. It makes sense because if you are at a table where it's not this regular playgroup and you play your elf deck and everybody's kind of like on the up and up and going, okay, obviously we're playing higher powered stuff, more synergistic games. You're talking about your decks getting powerful. Elvish Champion makes sense to include. And it's likely that you're going to have more than one opponent that plays with forests, that plays green. It's unlikely that you'll venture off into stranger pods or like playing at the LGS that you'll bump into people not playing green. It's an exceptionally powerful and very popular color. It's just in your play group, you're making it clear that you and this other player are the only two people that play green. And while you are not including Elvish Champion necessarily as a silver bullet for this player, you're playing with it like it was included for that reason. You make mention of your many tutors in the deck, not necessarily just there to find Elvish Champion, of course, but you have many tutors in the deck and you're making use of them to find your win cons, which of course is fair. That's what tutors are there for, but it automatically puts you at a much more powerful, you know, position. It puts you at way more powerful deck building and games already. And the thing that's standing out to me is that this person is upset because they're the only ones that get taken out by the forest walk. There's no mention of the deck playing like a Yavimaya Cradle of Growth in there to make all lands forests so that they can all forest walk. There's no mention of other ways to give forest walk. So it's not like they're all in on this. It's not like they also have Elidamri, Lord of Leaves, which I mentioned that all elves get forest walk and get Shroud as well. And then there's also like a an enchantment from the dark for like two green called Hidden Path that gives all green creatures Forest Walk. It's not like that's the big plan, which if you wanted to, you could go that route. I don't think that that was the intention here, but I will say it feels a little pointed when you're playing in a pod with the same people who've, you know, come together enough to notice that there's a difference in the power level that they've been playing and have over time sculpted their decks to this meta. It's hard to not see the Elvis champion as like a pointed, hey, I'm coming for you kind of thing. The reception to this has been kind of like, okay, we're playing powerful decks, but nobody's got creature removal at instant speed. You know, we're getting more and more powerful, but nobody has a way to like board wipe, or nobody has any response or bounce or any sort of removal. Nobody's got a kill spell. That we're supposedly at high level play. If you mention many, many tutors, you're automatically hitting bracket 3 and 4, and your synergy for an elf deck automatically for me ends up 4. There's no way it's not going to be possible to put together 100 cards that say elf on them and not have this inherent synergy that just ends up getting the ball rolling super fast. It's very difficult to pull off a bad elf deck, right? So I think that this story comes with that kind of response of like, okay, so are you high powered? Because if you are, how are you staving off this removal? Also, if you're being high powered, don't you want to go with like being able to do it to everybody? So why isn't there a mention of Yavimaya Cradle of Growth? Why aren't there more inclusions of Forest Walk if this is part of the plan and not necessarily something that you're just putting in? Like, people are, there's these accusations of it being that way. But I will say, it's fair that you thought of the card, found the card, put the card in your deck. That's awesome. I'm glad you found a piece that works for you. I don't think it's fair to tutor for it if there's only one player that you play with every week and you just have this button that goes, okay, I'm done playing with you now, and you can just go tutor it up and press the button and then they're knocked out. I think that's kind of lame. I think that sucks. I play a lot of graveyard decks. I play a lot of ETB decks. I'm a big fan of like ETBs on enchantments, on creatures. That it's my favorite thing to do in Magic is a graveyard deck. And so if somebody showed up and was like, every one of my decks is going to play Torpor Orb and Rest in Peace, and I tutor for them within the first couple turns of the game, I'd probably be like, yeah, you know, I just don't feel like playing against you. You're literally shutting down the kind of Magic I want to play. And so I find it odd. And like, yes, it's possible that like they're a playgroup that only has one deck a piece, or like two decks a piece, and they just happen to not overlap with green, you know, but it's hard to buy that this isn't something, you know, it's a dick move, you know, it's not fun to be like, hey, I added this card to the deck and now it's going to come hit you. And you're done. You're dead. It's something that you are going to lose to all the time.
Reading this submission also makes me think, and also people's like kind of trepidation in the comments of being like, they only have one deck. And I'm like, I think that's fair. Maybe you only brought one deck. These people don't play with pre-con, so they have like their one pet deck. My partner only has one deck. So, I mean, there's tiny sample size for you.
But I'll say this is a play group that plays together a lot. So yes, They've met each other a bunch, right? So that's the implication. And it's fair that they only have one deck. That's fair.
Yeah, maybe they're also newer. Like, maybe this is their first foray into Commander. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different reasons why they'd be doing this and be like, okay, so what's the issue? I'm trying to win the game. We're trying to make these games power level, you know, get more and more powerful, mm-hmm, potentially, because we're starting to learn things. We're starting to see interactions between each other, between our decks. And so I think that that's where it gets. And I'm trying to think, I guess we're like speculating about this person a little bit, right? We're trying to see if they're the bolus or not. And we can do that in like a bunch of different ways, yeah, with like some of the context and what they say, and also like who we imagine they are. Tell us who you are. Have you been playing with these same people forever? And y'all just started playing Commander a couple months ago. And so this power level thing, you're starting to see like it's starting to click like, ah, if I'm playing the elves, I need to play with champion regardless of if, you know, this other person in my pod has forests, because that's the power move, right? I'm just going to win every time. That's what's going to make the deck more optimized. That's going to make these games go quicker. We're going to learn more things. I'm going to learn how to optimize it. But maybe y'all are playing together too much. And so you're not seeing like the bigger picture of, you know, okay, maybe it is okay to kind of like target one person in this pod, because in a bigger group, you have less of a chance of this happening. So I'm not entirely sure. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt in that and say that they're not the bolus, because maybe this is just where their mindset is and they haven't communicated it with the power level of where we want the group to go. Maybe you've already made it. Maybe everybody else hasn't. Maybe it's just a matter of like, okay, maybe I'm actually the bolus now and y'all have to make your decks geared towards me. And then what? Y'all get better games. Maybe you're swamp walking. Maybe your opponent also has like some forest walk shenanigans, right? So.
But so that's it. The point of this is that, like, I think that, like, it's fair to add this to the deck, no problem. But the point is, like, there's a couple of things that just don't compute here. You're telling me that the decks have gotten more powerful, but there isn't more targeted removal. You're playing in a meta where you specifically have a ton of tutors, but your opponents don't have access to tools that, you know, players who play against people with tutors should, like, would have if they were keeping up with the power level. As the submission implies, right? So to me, it just feels like a disparity between their power level perceived between each other, and there's a discussion to be had. That said, if you were to come to me after I pulled this on you, and you were like, look, clearly I'm the only one playing green, you know, like I'm the only one, and you're over there playing like a Jun deck that just wants to do its thing or whatever, and it's going to attack or whatever, but it somehow doesn't have the removal to kill a creature. Like, I don't see it, but like, let's, for the sake of this argument, like, you know, I just don't see it. I distrust the writer based on this comment about the power level almost immediately, because you begin a paragraph saying that our power level has grown. We've played a lot with each other. Our power level has, we've been keeping up with each other. But then you say, I have a bunch of tutors, but nobody has removal.
Yeah, maybe you're trying to give themselves the benefit of the doubt out the gate, right? Like maybe there is a miscommunication here.
The inherent bias of it. Like, yeah. The problem with getting these kind of submissions is that there's always going to be an inherent bias to the way you're writing them. You want to come off as a good person. Like, you don't want to be a bad person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, personally, I lean towards bolus because the conversation goes to being, it's part of my deck and I'm not going to remove it from the deck, but there's no compromise offered. And there's an easy compromise, which is if we're playing a game with these same people we see every week and play all the time with, who also only play these colors, maybe, just maybe, you're not allowed to tutor for that card. Maybe that's a compromise we can reach, considering it is quite literally the one card that says I kill this guy. Now, does it require some other setup, like a lot of mana, many creatures to attack with? Absolutely it does. But it's also like an out of nowhere win, like not even an out of nowhere win, an out of nowhere loss for one person. I don't know. What if they were playing like an all walls deck, had the ground and the sky covered, a ghostly prison, just like so ready to not get taken out this way, except, you know, unless the like they could see, like, okay, if he pumps using Azuri like to overrun like six times and then pays for the ghostly prison on that many creatures, maybe I can get got, but I feel like I'm in a good place now. And then instead it's just drop Elvish Champion, pay for the ghostly prison on like four of these guys, pump them, and then it's done. And you're like, oh man, still a good game though. Like, it's a story for sure, but it just means that you've got these other players playing Esper or whatever, and they just get to do their own engine thing. Like, I don't know.
They have access to all the answers, but somehow don't have them. I maybe I'm getting converted, but I don't know. I really wish we knew what this other green player's commander was. That would, I think, give us a lot of context into,
I mean, sure,
whether you're being like really mean or not. Like, are you playing against another mono green commander? Are you playing against some Jun shenanigans or what's going on? What is across the board from you where Elvish Champion is just consistently going to get through and just nail this person with absolutely no.
Well, that's the thing about Elvish Champion. It hits the board. It hits your board and gives you all unblockable. That's the problem with Elvish Champion. It's not the champion itself going in. It means that, like, it hits a board and then it's done. But it's only for one player that it's done, you know? I read this one over and I thought, this one's interesting because, yeah, I could go either way, but I am feeling this direction a lot more. Not the bolus would be like, yeah, it's part of your deck. Obviously, if it's part of your deck and we're all in the same power level, you just got to like place, like, you know, play better with like your pinpoint removal. Now that you know that it could be coming, you have to hold up removal for it or like have an answer. Like maybe, you know, if you're playing a Simic deck, keep an Aetherize handy. You know, if you can't target anything because they've got Shroud or Hexproof, like there are different ways to build your deck. And that's why the play group is so beautiful. Is that like when you have a play group, you can play these games and find yourself in like meta situations where you're like, I've got this is clearly shored up a weak point for my deck, and I need to cover that up. I need to figure out what I can tinker with, and that ultimately is what keeps people playing Commander in the end. It's not just brewing the decks and getting to play them. It's to find out the best ways to kind of, you know, seal the gaps, you know, that are in your deck, in your gameplay, or ways to keep doing the thing that you're envisioning when you put the deck together. Right.
And that's the thing, right? Like, it's the push and pull of this, of if you have this one person who's just saying and thinking that you're targeting them, like have some communication with them and be like, man, but this is like really weak a spot removal during combat or whatever, right? Or
yeah,
and like, so that's something that I would want for this person. Like I think that maybe there was some miscommunication on your part as to like, I'm not getting rid of it, I'm not doing nothing. Have the conversation when you have the play group where y'all are building decks together, and someone's feeling singled out as maybe having their deck lower in power level. Like, well, why is it, you know, they don't have the right cards. They're not playing well enough. They're not, you know, seeing the path necessarily. Like have that conversation, I think, instead of maybe just the blanket, I'm not getting rid of it. Or, you know, maybe you do just need to play better. Right. Like I think what's happening is I'm getting converted. I'm starting to see that you're being a little mean to this other person in the pod. But again, mm-hmm. I still think, you know, in a vacuum, it's fine. But with context, just be a bit nicer to the pod and see how y'all can kind of build up your decks a bit more to maybe get things more even. Do you want to be the person in the pod who's always going to win? Like, that doesn't seem fun to me. I want Mike to win. I want the other person in the pod to win sometimes. I don't want to be like, oh, here's my champion deck or my elves deck. You're going to get crushed no matter what. Or it's going to be difficult for you to get the win consistently, right? Or even with some kind of variance. Yeah. So have that communication. I think that's going to be better than kind of being like, take it or leave it about it.
I'll say this. This is probably the best way to illustrate my bias against tutors, because it's either go for it or don't. Like, obviously, if you got plenty of tutors in your elf deck and you're going to go get Elvis Champion when it's time to like go for the throat and kill somebody outright, you're going to need some way to like get across. Then you better be packing a Yavimaya Cradle of Growth. You better be packing a Song of the Dryads. Like, give somebody a forest like that. To me, it's kind of like Stephen Ball, who comments on a lot of the articles. Just shout out Stephen. He said this comment. This is a weird one, because if you're just running the deck for general gameplay, it'd be an easy not the bolus. I mean, I'd suggest some obvious synergies to go along with Elvish Champion, like Song of the Dryads and Yavimaya Cradle of Growth. I added that one. He did say that one. But there's nothing wrong with Elvis Champion, per se. In the specific context of a regular play group in which it's a silver bullet against one opponent, that's different. I've got to wonder what your goal is here and what the other person's goal is. And that's exactly it. If it's in the deck, totally fine. You know what I mean? But it's like, if this is the play group and everybody's set in their way of being like, hey, I don't play green, neither do I, this doesn't affect us. Hey, I play green and I'm the only one that gets screwed over by you playing this one card, because then it's game over for me, and then I have to watch you not able to close it out against these other two for like another hour. Like, that would suck, right? So I just think that, like, if you're going to do it, go do it. If you're going to pack all these tutors, pack a crop rotation too and get that Yavimaya. Make sure you're tutoring for friggin' Song of the Dryads. Make sure you do anything that gives other, you know, players forests or whatever. Like, do that. Go hard. If you're really going to do it, do it. But if this is why I don't like tutors, it's because of this kind of moment. It's more exciting to know that Elvis Champion is in the deck, but you need to draw to it. So there's tension in that moment. Like, every play, I have to play around this card knowing, okay, I'll hold up my Path to Exile because I need to make sure that I don't get got by that one thing that is specifically only going to hurt me. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that makes it interesting. And then you also don't know when it's coming because it's not something that happens at the quote unquote right time. It'll just happen to come up in your hand and then the player's going to play it and that's it. Right. And then this is why the series is so difficult to do. I also think maybe not the bolus, a little bit not the bolus, because you're in a play group. You're a play group that's playing along together for a long time. You're getting to know each other a little bit better, more and more. Decks are getting more powerful. Hopefully this means you'll be building more decks and everybody's going to be able to play a little bit different, a little bit variety, spice of life, right? But if everybody's decks are getting quite powerful, as you suggest, again, with no removal and stuff, I think that maybe that's just the way it needs to be until somebody goes, all right, let me go look up some removal specifically for this card. Let me go get what's that card that goes to get like a card from your library and exiles it. I'm going to get that thing, you know, and then you have to be like, oh, wow, how does the mono green player respond to a card like that? You know, so then that becomes the more interesting interplay, but it ends up coming off as a little spiteful, which is why I do favor this idea of the compromise for if you've got it in your deck and you want a tutor for an elf, it can't be the Elvish Champion. It can't be. It just kind of sucks to get to the end game. Imagine it's like you spent this game like an hour and a half. You've worn down two other players and now you're up against this elf ball deck that you know is just the bane of this pod. You're like, how do I get around this? It's always so much mana. It's so overwhelming. I don't know how to get around it. And then you found it. You found the sequence. You found the play. You know it's coming. And you just have to like hold out hope that they don't have Elvish Champion in their hand or they don't draw it. But instead, the next turn comes around and the player goes, okay, I got this quarter calling. It's in play. You know, boom, done, game over. You know, it's just so uneventful. It just takes the wind out of my sails even thinking about it. Yeah, so like I'm solidifying the bolus verdict here for me, but I'll say like the part of the beauty of a meta that is isolated and siloed is the idea that this is a pod that comes back to play together. That to me is interesting in its own way because that means we're going to play together. We're going to get to know each other better. Our decks are going to grow together and they're going to shore up other, you know, problems and defenses. They're going to okay, so this guy's major pain point is this. Let me see how I can exploit it. Or these two interact together all the time. So let me see if I can interrupt that. Or, you know, there's too many tutors in the deck. What about Aven Mind Sensor? That's the kind of game I'm going to play now, you know? That's the fun of a meta based on a playgroup. It's definitely part of it. You're strategizing against each other for sure. But I will say, if all of you seem to have one deck and you're all upgrading to be, quote, very powerful, again, that part boggles my mind because removal is part of power.
I just can't get past it.
Yeah. I can't get past it. Especially if this is kind of deck that's like a four. This is for sure a four. This is an elf ball deck with many tutors. I'm so sorry. That ends up being a four. So if we're talking about like, yeah, you're playing a bunch of threes against a four and the four happens to have like a game ending thing for one of the players, it's like, that's going to suck. And that it does. So bolus for me. That's it. What do you think about that, Morgan? I know you gave the not the bolus thing, but am I swaying you at all? Or are you staying with the not the bolus?
It's really tough. I mean, providing some context, I feel like I was the person who people in my pod built around because I had a Loro back in the day when he was just probably the best pillow fort commander you could possibly have. And I was playing with five other people and basically got to the point where I couldn't play a Loro anymore because just getting like constantly targeted, was never able to get him to do anything.
Damn,
fun.
You played a Loro?
Oh, yeah.
Back you didn't in, keep him it, in the
in my career days, my career EDH days, Aloro was my number one. And I mean, there's nothing more insufferable, except for maybe at the time, like send triplets just immediately, that would make you be like, oh, I hate this guy.
I've never seen Aloro on the battlefield. I meant like you played him as in from the command zone.
Oh, yeah.
He left the.
He was damn. He was my king. Yeah. And this is 100 years ago. Him. So, I mean, a different age, a different time. So I feel
we
like
need
I
need another Aloro.
We do. I mean, look at him. I honestly just look at him like I still want. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. In the end, though, I'm going to say not the bolus, only because I do have that bias, because everybody in that play group basically said, how do we knock this sucker out like on turn three? Right. Like, how do we get rid of this so that just like nothing can happen? And it just turned into this like war of attrition of like who's going to make the deck that beats Aloro first. Right. And so I think with your pod, with y'all communicating correctly, it is shocking to me, like you said, Mike, that there's no removal. There's no way to stop this from happening. And maybe there is, right? With like the tutors, you know, there's no way to stop that in some cases. Right. But like when it comes to spot removal, when it comes to maybe you have some kind of fog going on, like you have basic stable stuff for decks like this that you maybe expect to see, especially in a pod like this. So I really, really, and not to be contrarian, I am leaning not the bolus. I'm leaning not the bolus. I'm leaning the bolus for maybe you not communicating properly with your pod about your power level. And again, maybe these people are lagging behind you, or you're doing things that you're not telling them when it comes to like you guys scaling your power together. That's bolus behavior. Always communicate, especially when you're in a pod like this where y'all are playing all the time. Why aren't you talking? Mm-hmm. Having the elf deck, being the elf ball person sucks. You can't be that way forever. You're going to have to have some infighting there to stop that at some point. So tell them, say
communication.
Yeah. You want your staple removal. Throw a farewell in there to your local planes playing friend or something. Right. But
I wouldn't go so far as to suggest farewell myself, but I get a board wipe.
Yeah, something nasty like
Cyclonic
that.
Cyclonic Rift. You want to play? All right.
Well, they're coming out next main phase anyway with that 4 billion mana they got on the hook. So I'm leaning not the bolus. I really just communicate though, right? It all comes down to the communication. How much are you telling them, and how much are you watching them struggle? Because I want to give you the benefit of the doubt, my person writing the letter. I really do, because
Wirewood Symbiote.
Yeah, I've been there, and you always want to communicate, because that's how you get better, right? That's how you get quite powerful, is communicating.
That's how you get powerful and how you get invited back.
Yeah.
Every time you do, look, straight up, even in entertainment, you want to do well enough to get invited back. You want to be a fun enough hang to be invited back. Get invited back. I have another comment here from just earlier today. Arno Gompertz said, overall, 99% agree with Mike. And the overall comments, thank you so much, especially on Yavimaya. Although there's one specific situation I'd show more leniency. If the other green player threatens a win, fetching for a champion each and every time to take him out early is petty. Fetching champion to prevent the game from ending is threat assessment. But again, that's niche. And I will say, totally. But I feel like if that were the case, that would totally have come up. You know what I mean? That would totally have come up. If they keep threatening to take the game and that doesn't come up in the submission, I'm surprised. Absolutely surprised. So I'm going to go with the bolus here, but communicate, have a conversation, suggest some compromises, you know? So shout out to Wirewood Symbiote for writing in. Thank you so much. If you want to hear us discuss a story on the podcast, amithebolus@gmail.com is where you send them in. And also, check this out. I might use them for the column. Who knows? I don't know. We're loosey-goosey, baby. If you like this, and I mean it, we have hundreds and hundreds of listeners. Lots of people are listening out there, okay? And I see the numbers. I see you're listening. Lots of you are listening. Honestly, that rules. It's so much fun that you're listening. But please, if you like this, let me know. I'm very easy to find at Mike Carroz on Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter still technically, you know, you can find me anywhere you find this podcast, you know, just email me at amithebolus@gmail.com to let me know. If you like this idea, this format of alternating between an interview and a mailbag episode, we're going to do it more. So this is a test run. We're trying it on an off week, and I really hope that it resonates. I hope that you like it. please let us know. Morgan, people find you at Indigo Gentleman on Instagram and Blue Sky. I just said my handles. Check us out, Am I the Bowlcast on Blue Sky. And of course, edhrec.com for the column every Wednesday, at least until further notice. Like, I don't know if we're changing the date, but I think we're sticking with Wednesday for as long as I know. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. And again, your feedback is more than welcome. It's requested even. So please send me an email, amithebolus@gmail.com. Message on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on. You know what I'm saying. Morgan, is there anything else you'd like to say before we scoot the day?
The day's ready to be scooted.
Damn. All right. Check out cardsphere.com, boneboxgames.com. Shout out to... Who do we want to shout out today? Shout out to... We're going to pick a person. I'm just deciding this now. We're going to pick a person to shout out every one of these now. shout out Michael Solani, former host of the show, co-host of the show. Michael Solani, shout out Games Freak Essay, How They Brew It, article series over on EDH Rec and CommanderSarrell.com. All right, we out of here. Take it easy. Scoot the day.